Okay, we're ready.
Okay, thank you. I'll go ahead and get going. Good afternoon, everyone. This is the Tucson Pima County Historical Commission meeting of Wednesday, January 11th, 2023. Called to order at noon, 12 p.m. Could we have roll call or your announcement or whatever you have to do?
Yes, my announcement first.
Yeah, sure.
And let me make sure that my voice is high enough.
Yes, we can hear you fine.
Okay. All right. This meeting is being held virtually due to COVID-19 to allow for social distancing and protect the public health. As we continue our effort in meeting remotely, we ask the commissioners and guests to mute yourselves until called upon to speak. To avoid feedback and background noise for those who have dialed in, the call-in number to unmute to speak, dial star six on your phone. Also, prior to speaking, please announce who you are to identify yourself. As a reminder, this meeting is being recorded. We ask that you only use the chat function to request to speak or to announce that you are leaving the meeting so that we can track quorum. Also, in order to comply with the state open meeting law, attendance and votes will be done by the way of roll call using audio. Do not use the chat function. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead and call roll, please.
Okay. Allison Sandoggi?
Here.
Carlos Lozano?
Here.
Harold Griffith?
Here.
Jeffrey Elwan?
Here.
Helen Erickson?
Here.
Jen Mulder?
Here.
Jennifer Lipstick? JJ Lamb?
Here.
Joe Ireland?
Here.
Kevin Scoville?
Here.
Peter Steer. Ricky Riojas.
Here.
Sandy Brook. Savannah McDonald.
Here.
Stephen Grady.
Here.
Terry Majewski.
Here.
Tim Haggard. Tim?
Tim's here.
Here.
Okay.
Great. Thank you. So you've got 14?
Yes, 14. We have a quorum.
Great. Thank you. Okay, let's move on to item 2, which is approval of the commission minutes from the meeting of 12/14/22. Could I have a motion to approve, please?
So moved. This is Joel. So moved.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second. Jeff on one.
Okay. We'll let Jeff. Okay. Is there any discussion? Okay. If not, could you call roll on that vote, please?
Okay. Allison Sandoggi?
Aye.
Carlos Lozano?
Aye.
Harold Griffith?
Aye.
Jeffrey Elwan?
Aye.
Helen Erickson?
Aye.
Jen Mulder?
Aye.
JJ Lamb?
Aye.
Joe Ireland?
Yes, aye.
Kevin Scoville?
Aye.
Ricky Riojas?
Aye.
Savannah McDonald?
Aye.
Stephen Grady?
Aye.
Terry Majewski?
Aye.
Tim Haggard?
Tim? Are you muted? Jen Lustig just joined at 12:05.
Okay.
Tim, are you there?
That's Peter calling in.
Can you hear me?
Peter joined at yes, and Peter joined at 12:05.
Okay.
I guess, Tim, are you off the meeting? Are you on the meeting? I'm not seeing him.
I'm not seeing him
either. But I'm seeing three phone numbers. Tim, last call for the vote on the minutes. Should we just say he didn't respond?
Yes, so we'll put that at 13.
Okay, because everyone else joined later, right? Okay.
Correct.
Alrighty, so it does pass 13-0.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Okay, so let's go on with item 3, which is chairperson summary of current events. I did send out a letter today that we had voted on last time to commend the team that was working on the Miracle Mile project that was part of the Thrive in the 05, and you should have all received a PDF of that letter. Thank you, Carlos, for sending me that. Item 4 is recently posted subcommittee minutes, and there's a link there to where you can access those minutes from the Historic Landscape Subcommittee, the Plans Review Subcommittee, and the Transportation Subcommittee. And thanks for getting those in, folks. And, okay, item 5 is removal appointments to commission subcommittees. I don't have any at this time. Item 6 is reports from city and county staff. And Jody and Linda, I would ask you to reserve anything on the commission separation items to the item later in the agenda on that, if that's okay. So we'll start with item 6A, which is City of Tucson Historic Preservation Office. Jody?
Sure. Good afternoon, everybody. I hope everybody enjoyed a relaxing holiday and didn't travel. We got stuck in the Southwest snow craziness. Anyways, because it was the holidays, I don't have a lot to report. Really, I just wanted to have two things. One was EnerGov. I told you before that we had transitioned over to our new permitting system, which is called EnerGov. For those of you who are interested in actually getting some training on how to use it and the new TDC online, we have been training not only internally, other departments, but also people in the public. And if you go to the PDSD website, there is an option to sign up for training. Currently, there is training available on the January 18th, January 25th, and February 1st. So any of you that use a lot of permitting, this is a really good option. And Corinne just put in the chat the website place where you can go to find the training. The other one, and I think I did mention it before, but just in case I didn't, in 2023, October of 2023, this year, I got to get used to the years again, we'll be having the preservation conference here in Tucson. And so we're going to be starting that. We are doing the planning for that. There are a number of committees, and we'll be doing some showcasing Tucson's surveys and doing some tours around and everything like that. We also anticipate holding it at the Dunbar School to kind of highlight our African-American survey that we're doing this year and those efforts. So really, those are the two items that I have to report on this month. Thank you.
Jody, I have a quick question. What dates do you have for the preservation conference? Did you say? I'm sorry.
I don't. I just know it's in October. I don't have dates for that yet. But I will keep you apprised.
Okay, thank you.
there's plenty
Sounds
of time.
Sounds good.
Because, so it's a while.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you. Any questions for Jody?
It's working.
Yeah, it's not taking my part. No, never mind. It's done it now. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else?
Jeremy, we call in on the meeting?
No, I just need to figure out how to unmute.
Is that star six?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, let's go on to item 6B then, and that's Pima County Cultural Resources. And Linda and Courtney or whoever is reporting today.
Yeah. Have Courtney go ahead.
Okay. Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Another quick report from Pima County Cultural Resources. to start, so in December, we had a pretty busy October, November, and December, but I can report on the December happenings. The Pima County Altar Valley Resource Management Plan interdisciplinary team. We had a tour of some of the areas in the Altar Valley planning area, and also a workshop with stakeholders and their input. And we were able to define cultural resources in the planning area and some goals for preservation and management. And in the near future, hopefully this coming year, we'll be applying for a CLG pass-through grant to inventory additional areas in the Rancho Seco area in the Altar Valley, which we know that there are a lot of cultural resources in that area, but it has not been surveyed. So that will be an interesting undertaking. The site steward program is continuing as usual and has been slightly reorganized so that we'll have more site stewards on the ground in areas such as Canoa Ranch and on the archaeological preserves in the urban area, such as the Valencia site, Dakota Wash, and Los Morteros, and Honeybee, and also in the Cienega Creek Natural Preserve. In the development services area for permitting of private development, I have noticed that in December, at least, there was a slight downturn in rezoning applications and permitting. I don't know if that was just because of the holidays or for other reasons. And so Scott O'Mac's projects on Teatro Carmen and the Curly Gymnasium and the Curly School, I can give an update on those. So for Teatro Carmen, for phase one, this will include the Meyer Avenue facade, and Morrissey will be the general contractor with Randy Odin as the historic expert, and construction is planned on beginning January 30th this year. And phase two will be work on the patio, and they're currently completing 100% construction documents, and it's going out to bid, and permitting will start next month, and the construction may start in March this year. On the Curly Gym in Ajo, this will be going out to bid soon, and construction may start March 23rd of this year and continue throughout the year to next February. And another interesting thing that Linda forwarded to me this morning was that, I don't know if you've read about this recently, but the Butterfield Trail will be a National Historic Trail with President Biden's signature. This is, as you know, this is a long overdue designation. And for most parts of this 3,553-mile route, it was operated between 1858 and 1861 by the Butterfield Overland Mail Company, and it transported passengers and mail through eight states: Missouri, Tennessee, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, and California. And there's an article that Linda forwarded that I can share the link with you if you're interested. You may remember last year when I was giving a presentation on the Cienega Creek Natural Preserve that Pima County manages one station of the Butterfield Overland Mail Company that was first used in 1858, and the use stopped during the Civil War, but it started up again use in 1866 through 1880. And when the Southern Pacific Railroad came through using the same route from the Cienega Valley from Vail to Benson, I believe. And in this, the site in the Cienega Creek Natural Preserve, it's just above the confluence of the Cienega Creek and Davidson Canyon. And there are some remnants of structural features still there. And surveys showed that there were also some Chinese artifacts from the time at which the Southern Pacific Railroad came in, that first initial phase of building for the railroad. So I thought that would be just an interesting little piece of information. And I think that's it on my end, but I'm sure Linda might have an update as well.
Just a couple of things. Thank you, Courtney. The Fort Lowell IGA, I think, and Jody can help confirm this, is actually going to mayor and council for their signature this month. And it should go to the Board of Supervisors next month. And that's for rehabilitation of a number of structures using city bonds. So we will be working closely with the city on that. Let's see. Is Ian Milliken on too? He was going to try to give an update on Silverville next steps. But I don't see him. So I think that project is somewhat delayed. It's probably not likely to get going again until summer or fall. So that's pretty much what I have. Thank you.
Yeah. I think first Carlos had a question, and then we'll take Ken's after Carlos is done. Go ahead, Carlos.
This was for Courtney. I'm just out of curiosity that Butterfield stage stop, is that now part of the Arizona Trail, that statewide north-south hiking trail, or?
No, I believe that the trail is a little bit, it doesn't follow that exact route, but it's nearby.
So then if this is a national designation, then what does Pima County, do you guys maintain it or anything like that? Or is it out of your hands now since it's a national designation?
That's a good question. We will, of course, maintain the stage stop. And I'll take a look. I've walked there a couple times, and I don't think it's right along the trail, but I will take a look and get back to you, Carlos, on that. But we of course, will manage that. That site, as we do, it's in a preserve.
Yeah, because we've been talking about this off and on in the transportation subcommittee, and it's really interesting. So we'll get back to you about that. Yeah,
this is just kind of like to spark some ideas on what Pima County can do in the future in terms of interpretation and being part of that historic designation.
Yeah, thank you.
Go ahead. Let's have Ken first. Oh, go ahead. Did you have something relevant to this issue or a different one, JJ?
Oh, it was about the Cienega station.
Yeah.
It's
okay. Go ahead.
It's really several hundred feet away from the Arizona Trail and up on a hill.
Okay. All right, Ken?
Yes, and this would be for Linda or Courtney. I've done a fair amount of research on the Butterfield stop here in Tucson, and I would like to get some information about grants or things available, because I think we really need to do an archaeological exploration. If people don't know, it was just west of City Hall in the parking lot now, where the parking lot is, for the federal building that's down on Pennington. And I just would be very interested in doing the paperwork to get a grant and some other things. Also, and I can, Linda may be aware of this, Tom Peterson wrote a wonderful Journal of Arizona History article on the Butterfield stage stop. So that's a very good resource to start from on that. So,
yeah.
And Linda, I probably might like to talk to you later today on this.
Okay.
So go ahead.
Thank you.
Yeah. The only thing I'm aware of, President Biden hasn't signed this yet. And so until he does, it hasn't been formally designated. I'm sure he'll sign the bill. And I think like the ANZA, Juan Bautista, the ANZA National Historic Trail, there will be a National Park Service, group, I'm sure, that gets set up with guidance and, you know, how to participate by either counties or cities or, you know, the various jurisdictions that the Butterfield route crosses. And ANZA Trail is organized by county, and we'll have to see how the Park Service moves ahead. So at the moment, there are not grants, Ken, but, you know, we would anticipate this will evolve into a formal program.
And I think I think Helen sent me something, that it is formally signed now that President Biden did.
Possibly so. I didn't see that, but I just wanted to put that out there.
Okay, Linda, why don't we have Helen just join and clarify that?
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, Helen's hand was up. A couple of things regarding this. I've been working with the trail rather extensively because I'm working at Fort Bowie. And, of course, that went through Apache Pass. So I have been sort of tracking the National Park Service on this for a couple of years now. It has, in fact, been signed by Biden at this point. So it's a real thing. Gerald Annert, who wrote the book about the trail in Arizona, called me up because possibly Ken and he and I are going to do an Arizona Preservation Foundation webinar on the trail probably in June, talking about the various bits that we have been working on. Also, Gerald Annert, you know, I was going to say this later, the 2023 Southern Trails chapter of the Oregon-California Trails Association is meeting in Tombstone on January 26th. And Gerald Annert will be talking about the trail at that workshop. So if, Carlos, if you are particularly interested in the trail, and whoever else is looking for more information, that Gerald really is the expert on the trail in Arizona. He has walked the whole trail and obviously did the GPS work on it. So he would be the starting point person.
Great. Thank you, Helen. I apologize. I didn't see your hand up at all. So, but anyway, thank you. And Scott O'Mac did put the link in the chat. But Helen, if you have other links and stuff to send me, I'll send it all out together after get me the other stuff.
I'll put the conference link in the chat.
Okay. And then I can put that in an email, too, for people that aren't on the meeting except by phone. Okay. Are there other questions or can we move ahead? Okay. I'm not seeing anything. So let's move on to item 6C, which is Tucson Department of Transportation and Mobility. And I see that we have Christopher Blue here.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon, Chairman Wojcicki and members of the commission. I don't have any updates this month. I think we're scheduled next month to provide our quarterly update to the group.
Mm-hmm.
And if there are additional topics that come up, I believe we discussed that those would be addressed in the transportation subcommittee. So nothing of note this month, other than a quick housekeeping item. I'm transitioning into a new role with the city, and this is my last meeting. You can expect Jen Toothaker to be here next month, and I'm not sure if she'll pass this along to whoever my replacement will be, or if Jen is going to be taking over. But it was nice meeting you all and providing updates to you, and I wish you all the best.
Well, thank you. Any questions for Christopher? No, I'm not seeing any hands. All righty. Let's move on to item 7, which is commission, subcommittee, other committee, council, commission status reports. And 7A is plans review subcommittee. I don't have anything to add. What about Jody?
No, we do have a meeting tomorrow, our regularly scheduled meeting, and we have a couple of items, but they're nothing. I mean, they're exciting for the people who are doing them, but there's nothing, no big projects that are on that agenda.
Okay, thank you. Item 7B is Downtown Neighborhoods and Residents Council. Commissioner Hager? Tim?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, so I've been present and voted aye to everything, if that matters, in the before, but the meeting had been rescheduled to a different date, and I was not able to attend that last meeting, so I don't have anything to report right now.
Okay, thank you, Jim. Item 7C is Historic Landscape Subcommittee. Commissioner Grady?
Thank you. We have not met since the previous meeting. I was just going to see if Helen and or JJ had anything they wanted to report.
This is Helen. Nothing from me at this point.
Okay.
Yeah, this is JJ. Nothing for me at this point.
Excellent.
Thank you. Item 7D is Transportation Subcommittee. Commissioner Lozano.
Thanks. Yeah, we met on December 21st, and we continue to just make progress on several ongoing projects, including the demolition best practices, and we'll be in touch with Department of Transportation and Mobility to work on that a little bit further. And then still setting up a meeting with the new administration in the city of South Tucson. And then commercial corridor update. If anyone was concerned about the demolition going on at the Amphi Plaza at First and Fort Lowell, we did confirm that the two historic signs will not be demolished. And then also Ken found out that the former anchor building of that plaza, the former Goodman's grocery store, that structure may be also saved. The facade is long gone, but at least something will still be there. And then on a residential commercial artery, there was Ward 6 was working on a road diet proposal for 5th and 6th Street, and I guess it failed the efficiency test. So I'm going to follow up on that. And I don't see how any road diet can ever pass an efficiency test, but that seems to be the way it's done. So that's all I have for this month.
Thank you, Carlos. Are there any questions for Carlos? Okay, if not, let's move on to item 7E, which is Commission on Equitable Housing and Development. This is Commissioner McDonald.
There actually was no meeting in January. It was canceled, so no report this time.
Okay, thank you. Move on to item 8 then, which is the update on District 5 Oral History Project, and this is Commissioner Scoville.
Hi. Good afternoon, I guess now, yes. I've been working with them, and we went and did a research sort of field trip at the Arizona Historical Society Research Library, and then I know one of her focuses, Samantha, focuses, is on urban renewal in La Placida, and then the and then the Butterfield Parkway issue. So I gave them a walking tour of the urban renewal zone, and we did a pretty extensive 2-hour-plus walk on that. And so she's ready to start proceeding with her oral history project, and then I'm just going to be a resource person if she needs any other questions. So I think she seemed pretty happy with what I provided for her.
Great, Ken. Shall we keep your item, this item on the agenda that you can continue to report?
Sure. That'd be fine.
Okay, thank you. Okay, item 9 is an item that was requested, I believe, by you, Ken. Updates to Plan Tucson, and I had talked to Corn Manning about it. And Corn, are you presenting for us?
Yes, I am happy to do that. I'm actually going to just share my screen. Just a moment. Okay, can you guys see my screen?
Yes.
So, great. Hopefully you can see in big, bold colors our Plan Tucson image and logo. This is the new branding for Plan Tucson. So we're really excited to launch the update of the City of Tucson's general plan. Our current plan is Plan Tucson that was adopted in 2013. So we are due for an update, and we are aiming to update the general plan by 2025. We had a little bit of a lag due to COVID. We really wanted to start the process at a time that we could do robust community outreach. So the kickoff is actually this coming week, next week. And that's next Thursday, January 19th, from 4 to 7 p.m. So there's information on the homepage. This is the main project page, what I'm sharing right now. And this is linked from the PDSC website, and I can also put it in the chat for everyone. So the first event is a open house next Thursday. This will be a chance to learn about the process, start to learn about some of the recent plans and initiatives in the city that are going to be a lot of the foundation for the general plan, and of course to start sharing your ideas, priorities, and vision for the future of Tucson. It's definitely kid-friendly. We're going to have some kids' activities. There will be refreshments, so please feel free to stop by any time between 4 to 7 next Thursday at the TCC. So hope to see many of you there, but there's also many other ways to get involved. This is just the start of what is almost a 3-year process. So I believe this was shared with the commission, but this is Mayor Council did adopt a community engagement program in November of last year, and this is basically the a plan for community engagement throughout the process. So there's really kind of 4 phases of outreach through the plan update process. We're starting phase 1 right now, which we're calling Listen, Discover, and Reflect. And so this is really to start to understand community priorities and vision. And that really goes from now through June of this year, so basically spring, early summer of 2023. Then based on what we hear in this phase in terms of, you know, key vision and goals, we will then move into phase 2, which is define and plan our future. This is about a 1-year phase where we are really identifying the goals and policies for the general plan, looking at different growth scenarios, weighing the trade-offs and different options we have as a community for our future, and then putting all that together in a draft plan. Then we will move into the final phase, which is really ensuring that there's a lot of public review and opportunity for comments and feedback. So that'll be about a year from July 2024 through February 2025. That includes Planning Commission public hearings, Mayor and Council public hearings, and their basically adoption to put it on the ballot. And we expect this will be on the ballot in November of 2025. So we're just at the beginning. This is going to be a almost 3-year process, a lot of opportunity to be involved. I do want to mention a few of those opportunities that the commission might be interested in. So there will be a lot of public workshops and meetings over the coming months and years, but we're also going to be establishing working groups that cover the different focus areas of the plan. Right now, the plan is divided into 4 categories: the social environment, natural environment, economic environment, and built environment. And currently, goals and policies related to historic preservation are found in the built environment section. There may be some shifting of how we're grouping things in this update to the plan, but I still see historic preservation will likely be in that focus area. So we are going to be asking inviting all of the city BCCs who have kind of policy connections to the general plan, that if they would like to designate a liaison to the relevant working group. So that has not been formalized yet, but I'm glad that you guys have really honed in on this and are interested in learning more about the general plan. So that's something to think about, is appointing a member of the Historic Commission to be kind of the liaison to the built environment working group that will include historic preservation, and then, kind of be the person to bring information back to the commission and to that working group. So that's one of the ways that we hope this commission will be involved. And then, of course, there will also be many public workshops and meetings and events for folks to attend, as well as a lot of online engagement. So I showed you before this website. This is kind of just the initial launch of it. Over time, this is going to get built out with a lot of online surveys, other interactive ways to share your inputs and ideas about Tucson.
Great, thank
you.
Corinne.
Any questions?
Yeah, Ken had his hand up. Go ahead, Ken.
A question and sort of related to what's been in the newspaper quite extensively. Seems like there should be a separate area dealing with water, because the article, I guess it was in today's paper, was talking about Pima County may be one of those counties that the 100-year water supply will be in major question. So I don't know if Plan Tucson's setting out a special area for water. That was what I was curious about right now.
Great question. Yeah, there's a focus area for the natural environment that includes water, energy issues, waste, reuse, things like that, and water will be a huge focus area, I believe, for this general plan update.
Thank you.
And
any other questions?
Go ahead. We are working on the One Water Master Plan right now. So that One Water Master Plan is going to, many of those goals and policies will be integrated into the general plan. So this plan is meant to build on a lot of the recent work the city has done, such as the One Water Plan, the Climate Action and Adaptation Plan, Move Tucson, our housing affordability strategy. All those will really be encompassed in this general plan.
Yeah, thanks. I think, Joel, you've got your hand up.
Yes, thank you. I'm kind of embarrassed to even ask this question, but can you explain what this plan is in a general way and what its use will be if and when it's adopted?
Yes, great question. Apologies for not sharing a little more about that. So the general plan is a general plan. So it is kind of at the highest level the city's roadmap and policy framework to guide growth in the city, where we are growing, land use policies around growth, but also investments, transportation and infrastructure investments, policies around water use, housing, transportation. And really, it's the place where all of those things are meant to come together. So you have transportation plan, housing plan, et cetera. But how do all of those fit together in a comprehensive plan for the city? That's really your general plan.
Well, for example, will this be a guidepost, or will things be evaluated in terms of whether they comply with this plan and perhaps approved or turned down because they do or don't comport with this plan?
Yeah, so some of the ways that the general plan is used is when we're reviewing land use requests, like for a rezoning or a plan amendment, and it will influence how we're looking at different areas of the city, how we're looking at infill, how we're looking at growth on some of the growing edges of our city. And so it will definitely guide not just land use policy, but also where we're making major transportation investments. Might influence how we're approaching RTA Next and some of those major opportunities for infrastructure and transportation investment. It's used by mayor council to direct city activities very generally. So it's used it's really meant to be the policy basis for a lot of the work that the city does over the coming decade, 10 to 20 years.
Well, this is that's an important document. Thank you. That's great. Thanks.
Yeah.
A lot of involvement. So please.
Great. Carlos?
Yeah, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, well, this, I'm glad that we had this discussion, and I'm also glad to hear that there will be some sort of a working group, because, yeah, we would definitely want to have some input with regard to the built environment focus area. I've always found that there are sort of some internal conflicts within the document. Like, I've seen resolutions that would cite the land use part of the policies, but they were sort of directly going against the preservation policies. And so I guess there's always going to be that type of push and pull, but language, you know, language is important. And so I'm glad that we can have a chance to look at that. And I hope you let us know, you know, as soon as we can, as soon as that group forms, that would be great.
Good, thank you. And Corin, what I was thinking is that because there may be quite a few meetings, it might be good for us to have a liaison and maybe an alternate, just because this could go on for a while, right? But we can talk about that as the time gets closer.
That's a great idea.
But,
that's really good. And we expect those groups to maybe start meeting around March or April, so we will definitely be putting that request out to VCCs more formally in the next month or two.
Okay. Could you put those links in the chat, and then I'm compiling an email of all the links that people need to look at, and then I'll send an email out to commissioners. So, okay. Alrighty. Thank you. I don't see any other questions. So let's move on to item 10, which is update and discussion on process and progress of commission separation. And commissioners, you all should have received the letter from the Park Service and information. Corin, you sent that out, I think, from the city, and then I think, Linda, you had sent it out. So it's out there. So we're interested in hearing, you know, under 10A1, we've got an update from Jody. So let's start with Jody.
So, yes, as Terry mentioned, you should have received the letter from the NPS that we were waiting on. It came to us just mid-month last month, after the commission meeting. We have drafted a letter to send it out to Mayor and Council, which you also received from Amari yesterday. Basically, to sum it up, it's kind of what we've been saying. You can either separate or you can stay together. It clarified the position of the National Park Service. They have a number of entities out there that are maybe separate. They're county and city, but they're operating under one CLG status. And so it was in an effort to kind of get them separated. In our case, we are both, the county is a CLG and the city is a CLG. So we are fine to operate as we are, or we could move forward with the separation. The memo that was sent out by our acting director for PTSD and the actual assistant city manager, Tim Tomir, basically clarified to date, what has gone on. It summarizes the memo from NPS, and it lets them know that we will be coming to them at some point for a study session to get a direction path forward. At this point, we don't have a date for the study session. We are on pause, as Tim notes in his memo, but we will, once we have a date for a study session, let you know.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Any questions? Ken?
Yes. On the letter from Mr. Tamur, it's sort of, at least from my reading of the verbiage, is that those of us that are on the study group studying the history of the commission and the research and making some recommendations about how we think should be best forward, as we go through with whatever modifications are going to be done. So I just see this as another supporting the study that we're doing, Helen and the other people involved with this. And I just wanted to throw that in there.
Okay. Any other comments or questions for Jody? Okay, if not, let's move on to item 10A2, which is an update on the study of the history of the Commission and the Historic Zone Advisory Boards. Commissioner Erickson?
Right. We have met twice, I think, at this point, and sort of have come up with a structure and responsibilities for the various people on this group. So it is definitely moving ahead at this time. In terms of help, Jody, what we really need, I don't know, maybe it's Corin. We need help from you. We are finding it difficult to access the records, the commission records, between the period where they are in the historical library and where they are online. And so if someone could, either one of you could help us find out where this material is and how to access it, we'd really be grateful, because otherwise we are in the position of having to ask the town clerk, the city clerk's office. And this is a really cumbersome way to do research. So I don't know whether that's Jody or Corin, but if someone could help us with that, we'd be really grateful.
Mm-hmm. Helen, it would be useful to know what years you're looking for, because there is a lag in the disposition of papers to the Historical Society by chairs. And so I have just been able to get most of Norma Niblett's papers from her daughters. And I have to make an appointment. I need to get the rest of those, and some of them are really important, you know, to various things that were happening many years ago. And then my papers have not all gone in. Many of them have, but I've got many, many more boxes to go in. And, you know, also what digital records are you looking for? If it's plans review, or if it's, you know, commission records and things like that. So we can talk offline about that.
Okay.
I can help you.
Yeah, that would be really great, because we do have, of course, access to the archives at the museum, and we have some very recent records that are online, and we're just trying to find the place in the middle where this doesn't fit together. Ken, you are probably going to be able to give us some more specific information on that.
Well, go ahead, Ken.
I was first going to sort of respond to Terry. I'm sort of the main person dealing with the Historical Society research, and from the foundation of the and creation of the ordinance and the commission and all of that up to, and I think, Helen, maybe it was like 2011, 2012, that seems to be where the breaking point is, that we don't have paper, traditional paper, hard copy kind of material to research. I think part of this right now, for at least for me, and I imagine for most of us on the team, we don't necessarily know completely what we're looking for. I think for me, in the research, plans review was not the emphasis in the early days that it seems to now in current times. And I want to find out, what was this transition? When did plans review become more of a dominant deciding group, and where it is today? So that just is one of my biggest questions, is how do we see the transitions, the decisions, the land use issues, the preservation issues, all of these things that brought us to this point, and where did it start becoming maybe more cumbersome with everything going to the neighborhood advisory boards and then plans review and all of this? Because part of the essence, from what I understand, is that we're trying to make this process more user-friendly, more time-efficient, and obviously, from my viewpoint and the rest of the team, but how do we preserve the intent of the ordinance? So that's part of this whole balancing act. So we've got to really do a lot of digging, and we don't know all that's out there. So we need to find where the resources are and how can we link or access them, because the more we start looking at all these different sources, the more questions and we'll know more what to do in specific situations.
Right, and Ken, remember that a chairperson's papers, they may or may not have been on plans review, and Norma was not, and so a lot of the early papers of mine, yeah, and so that's why they have to come from somewhere else, and I heard the things that go to this, I don't know what BCC keeps. It's basically the agendas, and, you know, Jody's been very helpful because now that we have everything online, but that's just recent. You know, so anyway, we can talk offline about this, but
okay.
It's,
well, I'd
it's
like
an
to be
issue.
In the loop. You're talking to Helen. I'll need to be in that loop on that.
Well, I said we can talk.
Yeah.
All of us can talk at our meeting. Well, whatever would help.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Sure. Any other comments on that or questions?
Just to go back to what I was saying before, Terry, it's the LARs from past years that I know were online at one point and which we can't find at this point. So I'm sure they're somewhere in the cloud there. And if someone could help us find how to access that, that would also be really helpful.
Okay. Alrighty, thank you very much for that update. Let's move on then to 10B, which is Pima County.
Hi, everyone. Again,
hi, Linda.
Similarly, we received the same National Park Service correspondence in, you know, mid to late December, and we've not yet provided an update to the Board of Supervisors. However, I did send out the same correspondence from the city to county administration yesterday, and I know I'll be asked to do that, do a similar memo. In any case, what we've decided to do, as I indicated in the memo I did give out to the board right after, I think, the commission meeting in December, was that we were still waiting for the Park Service decision, and that we would be looking, as some of you are already, at the last 3 or so years of, in terms of what data are available to us on a ready basis, to do an assessment of how many cases the county actually brought forward to the commission, whether it was a courtesy review, whether it was something that went to plans review and then on to our planning and zoning commission, so that we can give the Board of Supervisors a level of understanding of our needs for the Commission, of course, actions and authorities to meet our CLG requirements. Courtney and Manabendra are working on that now. They've gone through, I think, the last 3 years. If Courtney, I'm not sure if you're still on the phone here. I think they went through the last 3 years of plans review and commission meetings to ascertain, you know, what those numbers are. Because the board will want to know, you know, what is the current status of our participation? Who are our members? And what's the status of the current IGA we have with the city of Tucson? And so we will be compiling that together, and then we will be sharing that with Corin and Jody, of course, as well as the rest of the commission when we have that pulled together.
Thank you. Helen, you had your hand up. I'm sorry.
Yes, I just wanted to say, Linda, I think you know Kathy Kubisch, who is on our group, and would you be willing to share that information with her? Because I think it's very relevant precisely to what we're looking at here with the commission.
Yeah. Okay, that'd be fine. Again, it's a shorter time frame. You're looking at from the perspective of 1974 onward, but we're taking a more narrow view in terms of, I think we renewed our IGA with the city about three or four years ago. Corin and Jody, I'd have to check again, but we updated it at that time, or in a minor way. We just had it reaffirmed.
Right. Well, we're at this point where we are on, the dogs with the nose on the ground. We're trying to find anything that we can find.
Happy to share, you know, when we have it all compiled.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Good. Thank you. Ken, you had your hand up again.
Yes. Just a question for Ken. Linda. Did the county, as the years on, I'm trying to figure the year, but when Pima County joined the commission and became both bodies, did the county keep their own records pretty well?
I doubt it. I think because it was a joint commission from the beginning in 1974, I think, and it was designated in the IGA from that time and in the various resolutions and, you know, elected official documents that the city would be the administrative entity. And then the county was paying a fee toward the commission's, you know, upkeep, if you will, and administrative charges. So I think the city has the formal records.
Okay. Well, you might ask somebody, who typically puts their nose to the ground and snoops around and smells for things. See if thinking about Mr. Huckleberry, he was a pretty good for wanting to be in the weeds. I'm just wondering what the county might have back into antiquity. We dare say 1974 is antiquity. But yeah, if you could just do a little quick check to see if there is something out there.
Yeah, we have an archive database we can take a look at. But again, I think the official record keeper is the city.
Okay. Would appreciate it.
I was going to say, Helen and Ken, maybe one of the recommendations from your group, whether or not the commission remains together or separates, there really should be someone that it has expertise and interest in record keeping for the commission, an archivist, because that's what has troubled me a lot, because I have my own records that, you know, and plus stuff goes back out to you all, and I don't know how much you keep of what is sent out, but it's really unfortunate. And I heard years ago, talking to someone who is the city archivist, basically said that stuff is tossed out every 7 years that's archived. So I have no idea really. I have not been able to find much when I ask BCC for it, you know, but that's just, maybe I'm asking the wrong person, you know. So it's just something to talk about. And, okay, Helen and Ken have their hands up again.
Yeah.
And then let's wrap up this item.
Yeah, I just want to say very quickly that I know for a fact that the commission did a lot of special studies, for example, back in the 90s. And those also you only find by chance. And so perhaps what we're talking about here beyond this particular issue is, you know, how do we actually have the archives? How do we have an archival study of what has happened here in Tucson? Because it obviously, we are a historical commission and we know that the past impacts our present. And without access to that information, I think we're really shortchanged. So, Terry, I totally agree with you on this.
Mm-hmm. And Terry, I just wanted to add one other comment. I think this is one of the big things that we're thinking about, and this study that we're working on is probably going to continue for a while. But we need to try and tie it together as best we can. And people like the word sew, but sew it together so whoever's going to be the commission 10 years from now, they won't have this same issue, that they'll see some continuity to the decisions and the modifications that have happened to the commission and why it's functioning and dealing as it is at their time period. So really, that's part of the emphasis. Any of us are interested in history, the records are the thing that makes everything else go, that you can come up and find, make some sort of decision about where you should proceed in the future. So it's going to take a lot of snooping, but like everything else, somebody kept something stashed, somebody put it somewhere, that things are out there. You just have to snoop around. Okay.
Thanks. Right, right. Okay, well, thanks. And thanks, Linda and Jody, for those updates, and we'll look forward to hearing more about it. Let's move on to item 11 then, which is Tucson's birthplace, Tucson Origins Park, historic landmark status. Jody or Commissioner Steer and Sadangi, do you have anything for us today?
I have nothing.
I have an update on this.
I don't have anything.
Okay, how will we, shall we continue to keep this item on the agenda? I mean, who could find out about this? I mean, didn't we hear that this was kind of stuck in Ward 1?
No, we're waiting at the tribal level, and I thought that Peter was making inquiry, and there was supposed to be a vote or something on perhaps something of this land.
That's not occurred. That's not occurred yet.
Yeah.
Everything's been forwarded to the tribal leadership, and I have not heard back.
Yeah.
Okay, so you'll let us know.
I think we're on the right track. I think we're on the right track.
Oh, good.
Where Peter is making inquiry, though.
Okay. Perfect. Okay. Hold on. Just making a note here. Okay, let's move on then to item 12, which is update on archaeological site damage at the border. Commissioner Sear, do you have anything for us?
We continue, the tribe continues to meet on a monthly basis, or sometimes twice a month, on Border Patrol with new projects along the border. That's continuing on. We've got tribal monitors working on every single construction project on the border right now. Some of these are small, some of these are large. And then the other thing I needed to mention is everyone is familiar with Governor Ducey's containers in, containers out, which is, as taxpayers, we've paid for. We don't know the extent of damage done by Ducey's contractors. There's been a lot of vegetation damage. There's been considerable damage to drainages. Since most of this is on Forest Service land, the Forest Service archaeologists, I think, are in the process of trying to see if there were any cultural sites that were damaged. And so far, we don't have a report yet from them. Some of this area had been surveyed. Some of it had not been surveyed. So some of this may be involved going out and doing some resurveys to see if there was any damage done. So that's sort of the extent of where we are in terms of that damage on the border now.
Okay, thank you. Item 13 is Commissioner's summary of current events. Now, Commissioner Erickson, I know you had some additional items for us. You're on mute. Still on mute.
Okay, my mouse was going to sleep. I'm sorry. So there are a couple things that might be interesting. One is that the African American Museum of Southern Arizona is opening for the first time on Saturday, January 14th between 10 and 12, and it is in room 244 at the UA Student Union. So I think this is a museum that is going to be very important to us in the future. They're just starting. Another thing is the Mellon Foundation on January 29th is presenting a discussion between the Mellon Foundation president, Elizabeth Alexander, and the founding director of the National Museum of African American Life, History, and Culture, Lonnie Bunch. And, again, that is something that's available online and free, which I think is definitely something worth looking at. I say that because of our personal experiences at Camp Naco with the Mellon Foundation lately, and they are definitely supporting underrepresented community visibility projects. And so I think it's definitely worth hearing what they have to say. And then finally, this is a project that sort of set all of this off in Southern Arizona. We are doing a webinar with the Arizona Preservation Foundation, Rediscovering Camp Naco, on February 7th, and you can find that on the Arizona Preservation site for webinars. And one of the reasons I think this is really important to anyone who's working on preservation of a historic site is that we started with a very small grant and put together a story map. And that story map propelled us to be listed as one of the 11 most endangered historic sites in the United States last year. And that, in turn, made the Mellon Foundation interested in what we were doing, and they eventually gave us $3.5 million, which is partially construction, partially programmatic. And then Governor Ducey's office with the ARPA funds gave us $4.5 million just for construction. So the point here is you can start small with something like a story map, and if you get the information out there, it can really change the course of preservation for a particular place. And Crystal Carancho, who is our story map technician for this, will be explaining how to start with story maps and what you can do with them. So I think it could be really interesting if that is something that, you know, interests you. And I know there are people on the commission who are working in the site, so.
Yeah. Helen, can you send me links to all those things to include in my email that I'm queuing up?
That is what I sent you this morning because I was sort of knowing that I would be talking about this.
Oh, okay. I will go back to that email. I just didn't see it. So let me see. There's someone else has their hand up, and that's Ricky.
Yeah, mine is an update about the Sosa Carrillo house. So Rio Nuevo's in the process of purchasing that and to do a remodel on it. And then they would eventually give it back to the Arizona Historical Society after a certain number of years. That contract finally went through the Attorney General's office and was approved. And so the Arizona Historical Society is hoping to get that to be able to vote on it at either their meeting this month. If they don't get it in time, then they'll have to vote on it in February. And then hopefully this month, because then we would know if they're purchasing the building by February.
That's great news. Okay. Is there anyone else? Any other commissioners have something they would like to add?
Terry, it's Peter.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to remind people that there's two transmission line projects that are sort of been on again, off again, on again, off again for years. The South Line project and the SunZia project are both have become a little bit more active lately. Again, the South Line project, portion of it would have incredible visual impacts on Tumamoc Hill, which is a site that's important. Everyone here is, I'm sure, familiar with it. We've requested the BLM to make presentations to the tribal council, and that's going to happen, I think, in February. So there's a lot of issues there on the South Line project, particularly around Tumamoc Hill and the visual impacts on a traditional cultural place, which has been determined eligible for the National Register. The SunZia project has started up again. It's focusing in New Mexico now, but as it comes into the United States, as it comes into Arizona from New Mexico, there's a lot of issues. There's dozens and dozens of archaeological sites. Some of these are in Pima County, not all of them, but some of them are in Pima County. And there's a lot of concern in terms of the cultural landscape impacts of the SunZia project being built through the San Pedro Valley, and with potentially direct impacts on extremely rare Sabaipri sites. I just want to make mention again that these two projects are sort of rearing their head again. You know, Linda's familiar with them, but I just wanted to mention that to people.
Thank you, Peter. I know that Linda has mentioned these from time to time. So, Linda, if you and your staff could keep that on your radars, that would be great.
We will. Thank you.
And report. Okay. Anyone else? Any other commissioner wish to mention something? I'm not seeing any other hands. Okay, we'll move on. Oh, Carol, go ahead. You're on mute.
I just wanted to let people know that the Forest Service has also put some historic aerial maps and historical maps and aerial maps online that are available. And I'm not sure if it's forest-wide. I know Coconino is involved in that. And Terry and I both, I believe, Terry, you got some information on this as well, but we can forward the websites or all to put to share with everybody.
Right. Is that stuff that Margaret Hangen forwarded to
us? Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, if you wouldn't mind, you know, reminding me of that, I'll send out several emails with these materials. So.
Okay, great. Okay.
Then everyone will have them.
Okay.
Okay, great. Anyone else? Last call for that? Okay, let's move on to item 14, call to the audience. Anna, did we receive anything by yesterday's deadline?
No, we did not.
Okay, thank you. All right, so item 15 is any additional thoughts on inclusivity that anyone would like to talk about? I know that some of the things that Helen mentioned are directly relevant to studies of inclusivity. Also, some of these museums that are opening, excitement about the Sosa Carrillo House and things like that. So anyone else have anything?
Oh, yeah. I do have one more event. Sorry, okay, the Conflict Center from the U of A is hosting an urban renewal talk at the Sosa Carrillo House, and that is – I'm pulling that up, sorry. I'm going to get you the date. On the 27th. It's going to be in the evening.
Is that something you can send to me, too, to circulate?
Yeah. I'll send you the flyer.
And I'll put that. Yeah, okay. I'll put that back up with the commissioner's summary of events. Okay, great. So just an interesting thing on inclusivity. So I'm here in the UK, and I was at my friend's museum looking at a ceramic exhibit, and she took me to see the plans for reinvigorating the museum. So it's basically, you know, the area was huge in the Industrial Revolution, and there's a lot that people can say about that. But it was so interesting because they must have had a consultant that wrote all the right words for inclusivity and this and that. And she and I were joking that their counselors probably have no clue what that means. But a lot of people reacted so strongly in the town and said they were never coming to the museum again because of this inclusivity language. So it's not just the U.S. that has these issues of not getting it. So, but you might be interested in that. Okay. Item 16 is schedule and future agenda items. For upcoming meetings, our next meeting is February 8th, and I need any items emailed to me by no later than January 24th because the Boards and Commissions Office needs things from me very early these days. So, okay, are there any agenda items that you want to bring up at this time, or you'll just let me know if you have any? Okay. If not, thank you for being on the meeting and Happy New Year to everyone. Hope we have a good year with the commission, and we will be adjourned at 1:13. And, Anna, if you could just stay on for just a second, you can go ahead and turn the recording off. We're adjourned at 1:13.
Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you.
Bye. Happy New Year, huh? Bye.
Anna, so when is the date by which you have to have the LAR posted? Oops. Is it next Tuesday?
Yeah.
Anna?
Just a second.